Anyway, we'll talk about the saga of Princess Diana a little bit. The marriage to Charles and the birth of Prince William is a ritual, and it was meant to be biblical in scope. That's why it's such a strange thing to talk about. I want to point some things out to you, and it really is, if you're a Christian, anti-Christian to say that you have the blood of Christ in you. It's really anti-Christian because what you're basically saying is Christ didn't die on the cross, didn't die for my sins, and so whatever, you know, and so the churches are basically fake, and these guys are the powerful ones, and you don't know what you're thinking. Here's a stained glass window that shows a pregnant Mary Magdalene with Jesus. This is in Europe. Prince Charles and Queen Elizabeth II claim to be the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You saw that in the diagram that I showed you. Also, they believe that they're going to be the ones that are going to be bringing in the holy seed of David, or the descendants of the Jews. How is that happening with them being German? I have no idea. How is that happening when they come from French royalty? I have no idea. But they say it, and they believe it, and that's why this is happening. That's why we see these things happening with the royal bloodline and Rex Mundi and all these names. It's kind of an Arthurian thing, actually. The Holy Seed of David will be presiding over the new messianic order of Israel, the world. And that's why people always say, why do we care about Israel so much? We care about Israel so much because we want to go and we want to sit in their temple and we basically want to shit on them when it's all over. You see, that's why we care about Israel, because Israel will give us the keys to the temple and the keys to the kingdom so we can put that nice Anglo wonderful kid there to rule and reign forever. That's why we give a shit about Israel. Next time somebody says to you, why do we treat Israel like we do? It's because we're trying to basically get them into bed so that we can kill them. It's always been the case. Hitler did it. We're going to do it. Britain's going to do it. It's going to happen. That's history. That's how it works. Because they want Jerusalem. They want. It's a big freaking spiritual conquest. You heard Bush call the Muslim attacks crusades? Well, this is the next crusade. It's the New World Order, and this is how it works. Prince Charles could have made it with Camilla Parker Bowles, but guess what? The bloodline didn't take, and they... I hear somebody laughing. The bloodline didn't take, and so... What, I call it Camilla Parker Bowles? Hey, that's a spell check of Bill Gates, and he's a knight, okay? So I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, the bloodline rule from John the Revelator, he said this about those people who claim to be Jews that aren't. He says, I know the blasphemy of that which they say are Jews, and they are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. That comes right out of the mouth of a quote-unquote prophet. And these guys are going against it, but yet we think they're cool. We think the queen's cool. We can't touch her. We can't hug her. We can't do a damn thing. All the events that surround the death of Diana and the mystical overtones of the birth of Prince William can be found in the book of the Apocalypse. That's the end in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, which is kind of scary as well. They can be scrutinized using Templar legend, and they fit the agendas of the Priory of Zion. The new leader will have the bloodline of both Satan and Christ. He will seize the reins of power in a time of great crisis, and this will make him literally the Antichrist or the new Zionist order. He will lead into the new Jerusalem, the people, and he will actually be the king in Satan's service. Now, here's something I want to show you that's really interesting about Princess Diana. Princess Diana was killed, actually murdered, in a car crash at Pont d'Alma Tunnel in France. Pont d'Alma means Bridge of Souls. It's the area Pont d'Alma was an ancient Merovingian sacrificial place. It's where they actually sacrificed people to the goddess Diana. That's kind of coincidental. Anyone who died there while in the service of the priory had their calling and election made sure, which means that their souls would be taken directly into heaven. The descendants of these divine souls would also become divine on planet Earth, the equivalent of a saint or a savior or a walking god, which means that William and Harry both, according to Merovingian legend and prior legend, because their mother died at a sacrificial site, Diana died at the Dianic site, will go to heaven and on earth are divine. So already the priory sees those children as divine messengers or divine, I guess you could say, vessels of Christ or vicarious fili Dei. Diana was killed during the festival of Santa Rosa or the festival of the rose. The rose was a symbol that the Knights Templar would use to indicate the Holy Grail or the carrier of the bloodline of Christ, meaning Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was called the Rose, and she carried, allegedly, the Christ child. Princess Diana was known as England's Rose. How is it that we have that? She's called England's Rose, meaning that she carried the holy bloodline, the descendant of Christ, or, depending on what you believe, the descendant of the counterfeit Christ or the Antichrist. Okay? You see the connection here? They called her the rose. Why is that? They called Mary Magdalene the rose. Okay? It's there that we see this parallel of a counterfeit religious movement going on. And this is something, you know, people always say, well, in the future, we're going to worship Elvis. No, in the future, we're going to be worshiping people like Diana. You can watch it, or that'll happen. Many biblical scholars like Tim Cohen and David Flint have written books about the coming apocalypse and how Diana is the Scarlet Woman of Babylon mentioned in the book of Revelation. Diana's memorial in France is marked with a torch, which is the Isis Mary torch, the one you see with the Statue of Liberty. It is the symbol of Isis, Mary, Ashtar, and Diana. It's part of a strange ritual that they did commit, and it's really creepy. Now, if we go into the book of Revelation of the Bible, the book of the Apocalypse, and we start reading some of the scriptures in there, and we start saying to ourselves, wow, let's match these up, we start seeing Princess Diana being matched, and your mouth will drop. In Revelation 12, it says the following. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. I saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Notice the 12 stars that are there. Those are the 12 stars of the European Union. The sun represents Leo, or royalty, the lion. And the moon at your feet, if there is a woman with the moon at her feet, the moon, of course, is a representation of the goddess Diana. Diana is the woman with the moon at her feet and the cloth or the clothing of the sun or of royalty and the 12 stars above her head. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. There you go. You got the flag of Wales, and you've got Prince Charles representing that dragon. Then the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it could devour her child while it was born. Devouring is a bad translation. What it means is the dragon stood before the child and reared it in the ways of the father or the dragon. We've already gone through the bloodlines of Dracula and the bloodlines of the dragon and the London dragon. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had the place prepared. You see, if you go through all of these things, I mean, I could go through the whole thing, and you can start seeing that it could be a fulfillment of Revelation. It could be a fulfillment of the Bible. Now, I've studied the Bible. I've studied all these things. I'm not giving you a religious sermon here. What I am showing you, though, is that by design, they can make this look like it's something either blasphemous or something that's a part of prophecy, and Diana fits that bill. You know, it's really interesting. There's a lot of religious mockery going on in Europe, too. Take a look at this. This is the Tower of Babel. It has 12 stars floating above it. It's a poster that says, many tongues, one voice. It is actually a poster promoting the European Union. Now, if you feel that religion and politics have no place together, then you don't want to be in the European Union because they're trying to mix religious imagery with the European Union and what it's trying to promote and represent. The union is an attempt for the establishment of the New World Order, and they're doing some neo-biblical mockery in the process. You take a look at this, for example. Take a look at that building, the building on the right. That is the building of the European Union. Doesn't it look familiar? It looks like the Tower of Babel. That's exactly what they want it to look like. That's what they said it looked like. In fact, Leo Marshall, former Secretary General of the Council of Europe, confirmed that the stars on the European Union flag and the swirling stars above the European Union tower posters are representations of the new mass assumption of the Madonna's crown, the same crown that sits on the head of the woman of the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. Also, the European Union building is a modern representation of the Tower of Babel. Does everybody see that by applause? Anyone? Okay. It just goes to show you that it is by design. And you can say, for those of you that don't want to care about it, you should, because this is what they're doing. They're actually taking images like Isis, Mary, and Diana, and they're fitting the mold. Diana's dancing with the moon under her feet. Diana, Isis, Mary, they're all the same character. They're all the same icon. It keeps happening over and over again. The United States is no longer in a position to dictate what the rest of the world must do. All power and money has been relocated to the United Kingdom. The Washington Consensus has collapsed, and now the United States has become a military wonder kind that has been forced and directed by the global consensus. We are no longer a financial superpower. All of the money has gone to the United Kingdom. All that money is being dictated to us through the United Kingdom. Prince Charles had already said that he wanted it that way. He felt it would be a great location to be an intermediary between the United States and other countries to handle all the financial situations. Here you have the union of the European Union and the United States. And soon the United States will unionize with its other partners, Canada and Mexico. So it will be together with the union and the new democracy and the new money and the new world order. It's all part of the plan. Also, if you read the book of Daniel, it talks about a number of things. The eagle, the bear, the leopard. Several countries it represents. Now, everybody thinks the bear is Russia. It's not. The bear is England, and I'll tell you why. Because the bear is a part of the Arcturus zodiac. Arcturus is the name of the bear or the beast. And what's really interesting is that the names that you'll start seeing come up, for example, Arthur, King Arthur. Arthur comes from the name Arcturus or bear or beast. He is the king that died and will come back to redeem his people. Now, what's interesting about this is that the once and future king returning on a white horse is similar to what is talked about in the book of Revelation where Jesus returns on a white horse to save his people. It's all the same story told over and over and over again. You don't have to believe in Jesus or God or anything else to hear of these stories from King Arthur to Jesus to other kings that are supposed to come and redeem their people. Now, Prince Charles, his full name, if you take a look at it, is Charles Philip Arthur George. Now, he's allowed to go by any of those names if he becomes king. In other words, he can choose any of those names. He can be King George, he can be King Philip, or he can be King Arthur. And if that happens, you can imagine what's going to go on in England if they hear that King Arthur is king again. Not only that, but Prince William's name also has Arthur in the title. He can become King Arthur, the once and future king. Go ahead.
You're probably going to get to this part in a minute. I'm sorry to give a spoiler, but Clyde sometimes talks about how in the book of Revelations, the Antichrist is spoken of as having a head wound.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to that.
Well,
hold on.
Okay, but I got something good to tell you when you get there.
Okay, sure. Go ahead. We're going to go to it in a minute. He and Charles have the name Arthur in their titles. Arthur is taken from the word Arcturus, okay, the great bear, the great beast. They can change their name to King Arthur, which makes them the beast. Prince Charles is also a man who's who has a lot of love for the Arthurian legends. Princess Diana was buried in a tomb in the middle of a lake. The Lady of the Lake is very Arthurian. She sleeps while when the king returns, she will return with Calibur to give it to the king. You watch. It will be a ritual, and it'll be Dianic in nature. It'll be amazing. You watch. Take a look at the pillars. She's also buried between the pillars, which means that she is in the middle of the secret. What is the secret? The secret is that the king will return when she awakens to give him Calibur. Prince William was born on June 21st, 1982, on the summer solstice during a partial eclipse of the sun. He will turn 30 in 2012. It is believed that that's when he will begin his ministry, just like Jesus did. Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry, and Arthur or William is supposed to start his when he's 30 as well. It's kind of an interesting thing. On June 3rd of 1991, William was admitted to Royal Berkshire Hospital after having been hit on the side of the forehead with a student holding a golf club. The prince didn't lose consciousness. However, he was in a bad state, had a fracture of the skull, and was operated on. If you take a look at the book of Revelation, it talks about how the beast will get a wound to the head, and he'll be near death, and then he'll come forward, and he'll be okay. It's kind of an interesting coincidence, isn't it, about Prince William? What? Go ahead.
Okay, sometimes when Clyde is speaking, I Google things that he's speaking of. Happened to Google Prince William, European Union. There's an article here right now from 19 March. It says that he calls that his Harry Potter scar. And that he says, the prince also discloses how he got his Harry Potter scar on his forehead. I call it that because it glows sometimes, and some people notice it. Other times, they don't notice it at all.
Wow, I didn't know that. This is Harry Potter's scar. What's the next Harry Potter movie to come out, or has it come out already? The Half-Blood Prince, the blood of Satan and God at the same time. Isn't that interesting that they're coming out with that? Take a look at that scripture that talks about the 666, the great beast. People can't buy, sell, or trade anything unless they have that mark. Well, take a look at this. On March 6, 1996, on CNN, Charles showed the world that he and his sons had been the first people to be voluntarily microchipped. All three of them have microchips in their hands. Interesting, isn't it? And then he changed his title from the defender of the faith to defender of a faith, which means that he doesn't defend the C of E anymore. He defends everyone. Muslim, Jew, Hindu, everybody. Kind of ecumenical, isn't it? Kind of like the idea that that's what they're heading towards. Prince Charles also runs a business called World Business Forum, One World Enterprises. It comprises of 200 of the world's top corporate leaders, consolidates 26% of the world's wealth. Charles is literally able to steer the environmental, ethics, and business agendas of the world's most powerful multinational companies. The holdings of the House of Windsor constitute enormous wealth, including Archer Daniels Midland Company. They are stockholders with controlling interest, which controls 75% of the world's grain in times of famine. The royal family will literally be able to control who eats and who starves. And Prince William will inherit all of that. You can't buy, sell, or trade unless you have that little mark in your hand, and they've got the grain to show it. The ultimate goals of the Priory of Sion, let's go over them one more time before we end. Creating a new holy European empire that would become the next hyperpower and usher in a new world order of peace and prosperity. Establishing a messianic mystery state religion by revealing the Holy Grail, the body of Mary Magdalene, and the bloodline of Christ, which would prove Gnostic and Ebionite claims that the grooming and the installing of Rex Deus or Rex Mundi will be happening at the Greater Israel. It will be happening at the Dome of the Rock. He will enter the temple, and he will sprinkle the ashes of the red heifer on all the new knights, the knights of the round table. The Antichrist, King Arthur, will unite his knights at the temple. He will anoint them, and they will become agents of this new world order. They will take part in rituals, secret combinations, and all kinds of strange order of ceremonial magic. It's thought to be the precursor of the coming establishment of the permanent round table. You take a look at who's involved here. Here is just a partial list of Americans who've been knighted. Alan Greenspan, Bill Gates, Colin Powell, Norman Schwarzkopf, Rudy Giuliani, Steven Spielberg, Tom Foley. Here's a constitutional amendment. If you don't know it, you should read it. It says, if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title or nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind, whatever, from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. They're in violation of the Constitution by being members of the Knight of the Garter, and they are. Why are these men joining? Because they know what the future's holding. They know what's coming, and that is why. The Round Table is in place, and the governing body is evident. You take a look at the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Club of Rome, and the Bilderberg Group, all together ruling the world with one Round Table. And the one man that will run it will be Rex Deus, or Rex Mundi. He will be president with benefits of God, commanding armies and knights that have taken oaths to protect the bloodline and reign of the hierarchy. The movie The Omen has a really interesting poem in it, and I'm going to share it with you. It says, as the boy becomes a man, father's minions pave the way. Set in motion now, Armageddon, final conflict, end of days. When the Jews return to Zion and a comet rips through the sky, the new Roman Empire rises, then you and I must die. How many people remember what happened the year Princess Diana died? Comet Hale-Bopp was in the sky when it happened. Kind of interesting coincidence, isn't it? The comet rips through the sky, Princess Diana dies, and the foundations are laid for this new takeover. You've been hearing about it in the news, the financial failures. You've been hearing about the economy shifting to Europe and 9/11 and all these other things. They all happened directly after the death of Princess Diana and the movement. There are many people that claim that the book of Revelation and the prophecies of John have already been fulfilled. The entire passage was about Rome and Nero and the persecuting of the saints. Well, they forget, however, that John made a very important statement about the revelation he gave. He basically stated that this type of Antichrist, and I mean that with quotes, attempts many times to come back, and he often succeeds for a time. It's like a never-ending loop. I'm going to share that with you in conclusion. It says this. The beast that you saw existed once, but is no longer. It is going to crawl out of the bottomless pit and then proceed to its destruction. Those living on earth whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will be surprised when they see the beast, because it was, is no longer, and will come again. What that tells me is this. There have been several attempts, thousands of years, of someone to create what is known as this New World Order or New World Dystopia. They're attempting it again. They're going to do it again, and they're succeeding this time. Why? Because people don't want to listen, and they don't want to pay attention, and they think that this doesn't apply to them. Because it applies to everybody else, because it's never going to affect you. But you know what? It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you when we become a world entity instead of a sovereign entity of the United States. Currencies are going to change. The office of president is going to change. I heard something the other day that really had me worried. They were saying that Barack Obama is going to be the last president of the United States. He will be the last president of the United States. It's becoming more and more evident that this new world order that Gordon Brown is talking about out of England is going to happen. That there are a number of people right now that are vying for the office of president of the new European Union. And those people are part of this very Knights of the Realm that I've talked about. If the EU or if this European Union or this New World Order takes hold and it becomes an international thing or a world thing, there's going to have to be some major wars happening before then. Everybody is focusing on this 2012 thing and how it's going to be happening in 2012, 3 years from now. Question is, will it happen? It's not like Y2K. It's not like the year 2000. This time we have a lot of people who are investing a lot of time, effort, and emotional baggage into this date. You should be prepared for this. You should be prepared to look for certain signs and things. And I promise you, if you take what I told you today and you apply it to what's in the news, you'll start seeing that, yes, it's heading towards that. Whether it be Prince William or somebody else that they put in that seat of power, it's not going to be obvious that Darth Vader is coming. He's not going to wear a mask and he's not going to breathe heavy. He's not going to wear his Halloween costume with his Nazi uniform. He's going to look just like a businessman wanting to make a buck. And he'll do anything he can to make that buck off of you. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero Lounge. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much.